Ona, she stared at him. I would like to begin discussions with you, but I'd need you to swear yourself to secrecy and silence regarding your time here and our talks. Invalidating this oath in any way would be forfeiture of your life and soul. Lady Griffin's chin came down, staring up at him with a strange look.
I could swear that exactly as you stated it, but who would you have me swear on?
Leah, Alex said with a grin. This is the turning point. Griffin's eyes shot open at that.
I see. In using her, it wouldn't invalidate any other oaths. I accept, and swear the oath as you stated it.
I accept, and do the same, Alex parroted.
He somehow felt the contract settle into place, knew that it was bound.
Good. Now, with that handled, the next bit is rather simple. That all future oaths and agreements made in our deals are made on top of the original binding to Leah, Alex said.
I don't quite, in other words, that was a precursor, and acts as the foundation for all future pacts?
So to speak.
Then yes, I agree to that as well and do swear.
As do I, Alex said, and nodded his head. Next, your time spent here is going to be rather simple. Your case will be heard and judged accordingly, on its merits and nothing else. I will weigh it fairly, and as close to the law as I am able. Lady Griffin nodded her head at that. He would do exactly as he said as well. The whole point of this was to make it so she would receive fair treatment and not be pressured into anything. That it was all of her own free will. During your time here, I will make you offers, or deals. Perhaps for certain items. Changes in your living quarters, eating, or other things. An extra pillow, more blankets. A handmaid. Each time, I will ask a price in exchange. Perhaps a simple oath not to harm the guards, or maybe for you to address me as master during your stay, Alex said. He was watching her carefully, trying to gauge her response. She seemed intent on his words as she listened. The price is, of course, negotiable, and you may decline at any time. Should you decline, nothing will happen. No harm will befall you. You will not lose anything, nor will it impact your case or standing. It won't even stop me from making you other offers in the future. Saying no to something will simply negate the current offer. That's it.
As an example, then, Lady Griffin said, choosing her words carefully, you could offer me a private apartment, and perhaps in exchange you'd want...
Your word you will not harm my guards or attempt to escape, as an example.
And if I wanted more than that as a meal? She said, pointing at the tray on the table.
As an example? I'm not sure. Maybe calling me master. Maybe telling me your darkest secrets that I promise to never reveal to anyone. Price is negotiable.
And if I said no to that deal?
As I said, nothing would happen. I'd rescind that deal and that deal alone. Perhaps I'd come back the next day with a similar deal, but a different price. Lady Griffin folded her hands in her lap and looked to the corner of her cell. Think on it. I need to see my other guest. I'll return later. For now, do eat your meal and perhaps take a nap. Rest. No harm will befall you. No one is allowed in your cell without your permission, barring the head of the guards with a valid reason, or me, Alex said. Not waiting for a response from her, he went to the door that led to the next cell. Unfortunately, it was not completely shut. Apparently, Douglas had accidentally left it open. Need to talk to him about procedure. I imagine he was in a hurry. Entering the next cell, Alex closed the door and made sure it was shut. Looking around the cell, he quirked a brow. Riley was sitting in her chair, a thin blanket draped around her shoulders as she busily ate her meal. Riley, hello, Alex said, walking up to the bars.
I heard you in the other cell, she said, looking up from her food. I swear to the oath you made earlier on Leah's name and all that stuff. Alex felt the deal settle into place, the exact same way it had for Lady Griffin.
"Now, I want to barter for warmer clothes first," she said, watching him.
Alex thought on her request. Riley wasn't going anywhere. She was going to be a long-term prisoner here. Her fines alone were astronomical, and she wouldn't have any way to pay them off, let alone the other charges leveled at her.
Responding to her request now would only be giving her the power to negotiate first.
No, best we change the power structure here. Her debts are her weak point, and I wouldn't lose anything by removing those debts, as it wasn't my money. What is your dignity worth, Miss Riley? I accept your oath and swear the same to you, but I think not on warm clothes for the first deal, Alex said. Let's be frank here, Riley. The woman had stopped eating, her eyes hard as she glared at him. You're not going anywhere. You're mine. I could have you hanged on your debts alone, let alone the other charges. So, you'll be starting from a different position than my other guest. She has the means to pay her fines, and probably negotiate her case in a reasonable manner. You do not. Riley blinked rapidly at that, then licked her lips. Now, Alex said, before she could start talking, I'll make you an offer. I won't have you hanged for your debts if you agree to call me master.
What happened to being fair? She asked.
I am being fair. You can call me master instead of any other appellation. Or not, and decline the deal. If not, then you'll suffer the fate you were already going to suffer. The law has already ruled against you. I am merely completing sentencing. I have not affected your case in any way. You can clearly say no and proceed to your foreordained ending, as if I never intervened at all.
Riley stopped, her lips quivering, causing Alex to wonder how much pride she had. I agree, then. I accept your deal, and we'll call you Master, Master.
Done, Alex said. He felt the deal strike, and that it weighed in his favor. Apparently, Riley did indeed have some pride, even if it was paltry, and he just forced her to sell part of it. Now, let's talk about the sentences for those previous charges you incurred. I believe the penalty you were carrying was death. I think we'll hang you tonight.
What? You just said you weren't going to hang me.
No, I said I'd not hang you for your debts, not the crimes. Those are two separate things.
Riley's face went from bright red to ghostly white, then to red again.
Don't worry. I'd like to make you another deal, Alex said, smiling at her. I'll expunge your death sentence. In exchange, you'll disrobe whenever I visit your cell, Alex said.
I'm not going to sleep with you. I'd rather die, Riley shouted at him.
I'm not asking you to sleep with me, only to take off your clothes when I come to call on you. I'll even put a limit on it for you. If I visit you more than twice a day, you don't have to strip after the second time. You can always say no and face your sentence. I'm not forcing you to do this.
Riley's jaw flexed as she ground her teeth.
Will you at least warm up my cell? If I die from getting sick standing here naked, it's pointless.
Alex thought on that, then nodded his head. He didn't want her to choose death, and her request wasn't a power play, but more of an extension for being naked. I'll add a hearth outside your cell on my next visit. I'll be sure to have wood always stocked so I or a guard can raise the temperature when needed. Otherwise, there'll only be a few coals in the bottom. Do we have an accord?
Riley sighed and hung her head.
I agree to your deal and swear it on Leah's name, she mumbled.
I agree and swear on Leah's name to the deal, Alex replied. He immediately felt the deal settle into place. He smiled with the realization that this plan would work, that he could keep himself alive at the expense of another's pride.
and it isn't like I'm harming them.
Alex tapped on the bars suddenly. I'm waiting, he said.
Part of this is having power over her, to bend her slowly to going deeper and deeper with my demands. So we must demonstrate that power at times.
Riley stood up, letting the blanket fall from her shoulders. Reaching down, she took hold of the hem of her tunic and pulled it over her head. She stood naked before him. Getting a good eyeful, he couldn't help but be impressed. Damn, she really is put together rather well.
Lovely. I'll be back later with another deal, Riley. Oh, and no one can enter your cell without your permission, except for myself and the head of the dungeon guards. But he'd need a very valid reason to do so, Alex said.
Yes, master, Riley said.
Chapter 4
Good work, Douglas, Alex said, looking over the 30 guardsmen Douglas had brought into the keep. They were clearly veterans, one and all, either having served in the guard or the military. He couldn't tell which service at a glance, but they all had the look of people who knew their business.
Douglas gave you all the details? He asked loudly.
Everyone nodded their heads up and down.
Great. First, I see you're all sworn to me in loyalty.
That'll remain, Alex said.
Your next oath is to secrecy, that everything that happens here in your new job, and anything you find out regarding me, will not be revealed to anyone, on pain of death and the loss of your soul. I call upon your loyalty oath now to leave, if you feel you cannot swear to that.
To a man, they all remained still, all feeling that they could and would keep the oath he'd just described.
Wonderful. Then approach me, swear to it on Leah's name, and pick up your first week of pay from the paykeeper behind me,
Alex said, waiting.
You'll be paid in advance every week for the next week, rather than a week behind.
One by one, each and every guard made their allegiance and swore to the oath, including Douglas.
When it was all done, Alex checked in with Walter, and then went back down into the dungeon, only to find his new guardsmen already performing their duties. Five of them stood outside the door, armed and armored in full gear. Nodding at them, Alex stepped through the door when they opened it for him. Pausing just on the inside of the entry, he fished out Leah's crystal and glanced at it. Murky shadows fluttered throughout.
It's working already. This is working beautifully.
Grinning, he pocketed the crystal, opened the door to Lady Griffin's cell, and entered it. Lady Griffin looked up from her table, the tray of food untouched except for the piece of fruit and a half-filled glass of water.
Ah, Count Britt, I'm glad you returned, Lady Griffin said.
Oh? He asked, walking up to her bars.
Indeed.
Hoping I've come with a deal for you?
Of course, but I'll not be so foolish as to reveal what I want, Lady Griffin said with a smile for him. It seemed she'd turned some corner in her psyche and was now in the mood to play this game.
Alex was, too, especially since I get to make the rules.
Delightful. At least this will be entertaining. Let's start with something basic, Alex said.
Pointing to her tray, he grinned.
Not to your liking, Lady Griffin.
She glanced at the tray and sighed.
Not in the least. It's less than what I feed my servants. And please, call me Sylvia.
Right, Sylvia. Shall we start with better food?
I think that's where I'd start if I were you. I'll make this easy as well. I want for a meal. Whatever it is you're eating would be preferable, Sylvia said, folding her hands in her lap.
That neatly prevents me from cheating her on what the definition of meal is, putting it squarely on whatever I eat.
Then again, I could always choose my meal as horseshit.
Alex couldn't help but smile in appreciation of her choice.
I can agree to that. Now, the price. My meals aren't exactly cheap, you realize.
Sylvia smiled at him, waiting, betraying nothing.
We'll start with the simple stuff. Your oath that you won't try to escape or harm me, yourself, or anyone in my employ while your case is in review.
Sylvia blinked, her smile becoming false for a second. She was expecting a heavier price.
Good. Keep her off balance.
I agree, and do swear, she said.
The deal settled into place.
Wonderful, Alex said.
Sylvia smiled at him, seemingly waiting.
She expects another deal?
Well, we can't have that now, can we? Need to keep her off balance, after all.
Have a good afternoon, Sylvia.
Wait, you're leaving?
Indeed. I only feel like offering the one deal today. I'll come back tomorrow with another. Maybe.
Smiling at her, Alex walked away from her cell.
Without looking back, he opened the door to Riley's cell, entered, and closed the door behind him. Immediately, he could feel a difference in the air temperature. The hearth had definitely increased the ambient room temp by a few degrees, even with just coals.
My master?
Riley asked. She was seated on the bed, fiddling with her toes. A beat later, she got up from her bed. Before he could respond to her question, she pulled her tunic up over her head and set it down on the bed. She stood, naked, her hands held in front of herself. They fluttered in front of her privates, and then drew away. She seemingly wanted to cover herself, but was unsure if it would violate the deal.
"Hello, Riley. I wanted to check in on you and see how you're doing. Are you warmer now?" Alex asked.
Reaching down, he picked up a small log and contemplated dropping it into the hearth.
"Much, Master," Riley said, her eyes slowly traveling up towards his own.
When their eyes finally did meet, he waited for a few seconds to see if she'd look away. She didn't.
Still has some spine left. Good. If she'd broken already, she'd be worthless to trade with, I imagine.
Having kept his eyes on her face until this moment, he deliberately scanned her from head to toe, his eyes lingering on her well-endowed chest, hips, and nethers. Her hands flexed as if she wanted to immediately cover herself before she mastered the urge and put her hands behind her back.
Filthy as hell, though. Might as well call her dirt.
How would you like a chance to clean yourself off? A new set of clothes and a new set of linens, since you've already stained those, Alex said, gesturing at the bed.
Yes, I'd like that, Master, quite a bit. Though I worry for the price, Riley said.
For the bath, I want to watch you bathe. For the replacement clothes, I pick out what you wear and get to dictate when you wear it. As for the new linens, a new pet name, just for you, Alex said, nodding his head. And that pet name is... One.
Need to keep working at breaking down her self-worth and her sense of self.
One?
Riley asked.
One.
The first of many, we hope, but no longer a name.
Watch me bathe, pick out what I wear, and you'll call me One, Riley said, repeating each clause.
That's right.
Before I agree, when do you plan on starting with the charges against me? Riley asked, then belatedly remembered her oath.
Master. Tomorrow. Your first meeting will be in the morning, shortly after breakfast. We'll be discussing each charge, the circumstances, and a plan on how to proceed.
Okay. And if I say no?
Nothing happens.
Then I'll pass on the bath, but accept the new clothes and linens, Master, Riley said. I swear on our oath for the clean bedding and clothes, as you listed the arrangement.
The deal was struck. She's going to use the water pitcher to scrub herself up behind the privacy curtain, isn't she?
Whatever.
As you wish.
You may use the old bed linens to scrub yourself and sop up the water that spills from the pitcher, One. Do try to manage your cell appropriately. No one else will clean it for you.
I'll have the items for our deal taken care of tonight, by dinner. Just pile up the discards in the corner. I'll have them removed tomorrow morning.
Alex said.
Riley's eyes were glued to him, clearly wondering what would happen having said no to him.
I'll see you tomorrow, one,
Alex said, waving a hand at her.
Part of me wonders if it's good or bad to walk through the other cells to get back out, but that might just play into the psychology of it. There's always the hall if I change my mind. I wonder if Sylvia will speak or call out to me as I pass.
Good night, Master, Riley said, immediately snatching at her tunic and holding it in both hands. Entering Sylvia's cell, he glanced over to her. She was watching him without disguising it, her eyes curious what he was doing. But she said nothing. Not acknowledging her beyond that first look, Alex left the dungeon. He'd be back tomorrow morning after he made the arrangements for Riley.
Douglas and two guards followed Alex into the dungeons.
My lord, I don't think this is wise, Douglas said.
Don't worry about it. Just put the trays down on her table, leave the box next to the door to Riley's cell, and close the main door while I entertain my guests, Alex said for perhaps the third time. Sylvia was already up and moving by the time he cleared the doorway and entered her cell.
My lord, what?
She paused when she noticed the second dome-covered tray. I thought you wouldn't mind having a breakfast companion, Lady Griffin. We can discuss a few things before I start my day, Alex said with a smile.
Of course not, my lord. Please join me. I would be pleased to have company, Sylvia said, gesturing a manicured hand at a table.
Except Alex noticed one of her nails was chipped. In fact, when he directed his attention toward her, he noticed her hair was slightly matted and tousled, with a somewhat oily sheen. Her clothes were wrinkled, and she looked as if she'd slept rough. Keeping her in this cell is doing wonders for her psyche, I bet. Let's avoid moving her as long as we can.
Douglas and his people filed out quickly, the door shutting behind them.
And what are we having for breakfast? Sylvia asked, tapping a nail against the silvered dome over her plate.
Sausage, eggs, bacon, more than likely an apple, and a hash, Alex said, pulling the dome off his plate and then doing the same for her.
Or so my chef told me. Seems he was right.
You tuck in. I'd like to propose my deal for the day.
Sylvia frowned at that, her lip on the verge of a pout.
She wanted to dictate what the deal would be.
Ha!
I'd like to offer you the ability to take a bath every day, maybe even use the tub to wash your clothes if you see fit. To clarify a few details before you ask, a hot bath, privately, right here in the cell. The water would be given each time for nothing at the same time each day. The tub would be put behind yon privacy screen and remain here, Alex said.
That's generous of you. And what would your price be for such benevolence?
Sylvia asked, eating her meal as quickly as she could while preserving her image as best as she was able.
It's certainly significant. I'm afraid I've fallen prey to my baser instincts this time around. For this to be a worthwhile deal to me, I'd like to be able to see you after every bath, if I so choose. The beautiful Sylvia, fresh and clean, hair wet, in nothing but her underwear, for at least 20 minutes each time. The time would not accrue if I don't use it, Alex said, meeting her eyes directly.
He didn't for one second believe she'd agree, but it would help set the stage for future deals. He also didn't have the same type of leverage over her that he did with Riley. Sylvia could technically end up paying massive fines and escape all prison time for her charges, once all was tabulated. For her part, Sylvia managed to somehow keep eating, despite her eyes widening like a deer that wanted to bolt. As a reminder, you can always decline. Nothing would change, go wrong for you, or be altered in any way for doing so. I'd simply rescind the offer.
Nothing but my underwear? For 20 minutes? Just you? Sylvia asked.
That'd be the arrangement.
I'm a terrible man, and would love to see more of your skin.
I do hope you forgive me, but how often will I have the opportunity to wrangle something like this? Alex said, smiling at her.
The water would be hot? Very hot?
Hot enough to boil a lobster, if that's what you prefer.
Then I agree to the deal, Sylvia said.
It was surprising. He hadn't expected that.
You thought I'd say no, she said, catching his reaction.
I did.
Maybe I want to be seen. How often do I get the opportunity to explore strange things in a safe environment, where you yourself are as sworn to secrecy as I am? Sylvia said, finishing her food off and setting the dome back down on the plate. The apple remained in her hand, seeming to be saved for later.
Pity for you, my soul is already lost. I can break any agreement, so long as I don't swear my life. Done, then. I look forward to seeing you this evening. Would you like to bathe before or after your hearing?
After.
Nodding his head once, Alex picked up his apple and stood up. Feel free to finish my plate off if you like. I'll have a guard come clean this all up in a second.
Going to check on the other guest? She asked, her nails scraping along the skin of her apple.
Alex only smiled at her and didn't respond. Instead, he exited her cell and shut the barred door. The lock clicked into place, imprisoning Sylvia once again. Picking up the large box that had been set next to the door, he left Sylvia's cell and entered Riley's. She was sprawled out nude in her bed, the sheets tangled around her legs. Glancing into the hearth, he found the coals were cool to the touch. It'd have to be restarted by whoever brought her breakfast. Still, the cell was comfortably warm from the fire the previous night. Definitely keeps the heat in. Walking quietly up to the bars, Alex viewed Riley in her full glory. She really was put together in a fantastic way. He imagined she probably had a number of men at her disposal back in the city. It definitely lends credence to all the charges upon her. Power is power in many forms. Clean and scrubbed, her skin was clear and without blemishes. Her hair still looked rather dull and lifeless, but one could only do so much with a pitcher of water. The bruising and swelling on her face was going away, and he realized she was prettier than he'd first thought. Staring at her like this did nothing for his building desires. Really need to get laid soon, especially if I end up getting some time to watch Sylvia. Maybe Marta, the whore? No, she was filthy. We can do better. Breaking his thoughts free, he turned with his back to Riley and noisily began opening the box he'd brought with him.
Master?
Riley asked, her voice going from sleepy to frantic in seconds. Brought your new clothes. I appreciate you sleeping nude to conform to our deal.
Yes, master.
Pulling out the outfit, Alex felt pleased with himself. He walked to the bars and held it out to her. She was sitting on the edge of her bed, naked and looking a bit angry. Come on, one, put this on. Your breakfast won't come in until I leave anyways, so delaying only delays your meal. Riley got up and came over to him. Making sure to wait for her eyes to meet his, he immediately gave her a head-to-toe inspection. You clean up very well, Juan. She grunted, taking the clothes from his arms. Gotta keep pushing her. I didn't hear your response.
I said, thank you.
Thank you what?
Thank you, master.
You're welcome, Juan. Moving to the bed, she started to lay out the clothes. Alex already knew what they were. He'd picked them out specifically for his own tastes, with her body shape in mind, no less. A white blouse that would be tight around her midsection and chest, but loose at the top. It deliberately exposed her neck, shoulders, cleavage, and a generous portion of her chest. A black silk choker with a silver name tag dangling from it, with one engraved on it. And a short black dress that barely reached her knees, but hugged her hips and rear end. There was no underwear for any of it. The other item in the box was a simple peasant's tunic that would come down to her shins.
What?
Riley asked, picking through the box. You'll wear the choker at all times. The top and bottoms you'll wear if I've already visited you twice that day. The peasant's tunic is for until I've made my two visits, Alex explained.
These aren't clothes.
They most certainly are, one, and they're what you'll be wearing by your own agreement. Now, what do you say?
Riley's shoulders fell, her posture looking rather defeated.
Thank you, Master, she said, turning her face away from him.
You're very welcome, Juan. I also already have a new deal for you while you get dressed.
I think I've had enough deals, Master.
Hush, hush. This really isn't much of a change. The only difference is now you have to wear something fun if I visit you more than twice. Now, do you want to hear the new deal or not?
Fine. Tell me.
I'll provide you with the means to wash and care for your hair. Soaps, scissors, even some brushes, Alex said, providing you also swear to never harm or attempt to harm myself, yourself, or any of my people.
Riley frowned and touched her wild, knotted, and dirty red hair.
And your price?
I get to dictate how you wear your hair, and we will have a professional cut it for you as well. I promise it won't go any shorter than a pixie cut if I actually decide to have it cut, Alex said.
For a moment before he said it, he wondered how pixie cut would translate. But since she didn't seem confused, he imagined it translated just fine.
And I can wash my hair every day?
Indeed. You can even use the hot water to sponge bathe yourself if you like, instead of that cold pitcher of water, Alex said, offering a bit more to the deal.
Riley picked up the black choker with her name tag on it and belted it around her throat. Then she let her head hang down.
I agree to the deal on our ongoing oath, Riley murmured. Master.
That takes care of her name, her clothes, and her hair. Next will be her food and beliefs. We'll need to give her some easier deals for a time. Build some trust back up.
Great, the deal is struck then. Now let me see you with your collar on, Juan.
Riley turned to face him and lifted her chin up. Her eyes were calm, but they also conveyed a sense of defeat. The choker looked great on her, the silver tag resting on her collarbone.
Very good, Juan. Very lovely, Alex said appreciatively, making sure she knew he enjoyed the view.
Chapter 5.
Now, I wanted to make you yet another deal, Alex said. Riley shook her head while looking down and to the side, but didn't dismiss him. I'd like to offer you better food, Alex said, pulling out the apple from the box. He'd tucked it away when handing over the clothes. I'll feed you what the guards eat, and the price is to let me eat lunch with you if I so choose. I'll bring my own lunch, of course, and I'll probably even share part of it with you.
Riley's head came back up, her brows pressing together. That's all?
That's all. I'd like to eat with you. Learn more about you. Know you.
I agree, then. Will that start with breakfast? She asked, hope evident in her voice.
Alex felt the deal slide in place, as if it had always been there. He was getting used to the feeling and wondered if he'd simply tune it out soon.
I'm afraid they...
Alex paused, thinking. It wouldn't cost him anything to toss out her old breakfast. It might even earn him some appreciation from her.
Actually, sure. Why not? I'll speak to Douglas on my way out and take care of it for you personally. They'll be relighting your hearth as well, Alex said.
He reached through the bars and held out the apple to her.
Forgive me, I do not believe I'll be able to join you for lunch today. I'll be working with my other guest around that time, I imagine. That said, I'm afraid I must leave you alone until later.
Oh, and one?
Yes, Master?
Riley sounded extremely cautious.
She took the apple from his hand and immediately bit into it without a concern.
You really are quite beautiful. Gorgeous, even.
Riley flushed a deep scarlet, her gaze locked to his as she chewed at her apple. He kept his eyes on her face and gave her a smile.
Saying nothing more, Alex left, taking the now empty box with him. He hadn't gotten halfway across Sylvia's cell before there was a brief knock on the door, and then it opened. Douglas stepped inside with an envelope clutched in his hand.
Douglas? Alex asked, mildly annoyed that the man was breaking the rules already.
I'm sorry, my lord. I have a letter from the king. It has his seal, and it appears authentic.
Alex immediately dropped any annoyance he had and held his hand out for the envelope. Taking it from Douglas, he flipped it over and inspected the seal. It really did look like the king's. Cracking the seal with his thumb, he slipped his fingers into the envelope and pulled out a folded letter. Opening it, he began to read.
My loyal Count Alex, please come see me immediately with utmost haste. I have a matter most urgent to your station to discuss. King Harold III.
Alex snorted and flipped the letter over to check the back of it. Blank.
It would seem our dear king wishes to see me and has specified little to no reason, Alex said, shaking his head. I imagine this would be our dear envoy I chased out.
That'd be a good guess, my lord. And because of that, you need to go see the king?
Indeed. For what, I don't know. A shame, though.
Go alert Walter and Max about all of this. I'm sure one or both will have a fit about it, Alex said.
When the cell door shut behind Douglas, Alex turned to look at Sylvia. She'd been listening intently and seemed unsure of herself at the moment.
I imagine you're wondering what I'm going to do with you while I'm away, Alex said.
Walking up to the bars, he leaned up against them.
I was thinking I'd just have you relax and take it easy in your cell. No harm can befall you here. And the worst thing that'll happen is your clothes will probably start showing some wear.
Sylvia opened her mouth once, then closed it. She doesn't want to stay here while I'm away, but there's no way for her to suggest it without putting herself in an unfavorable position. Another lovely opportunity to earn some trust.
She nodded her head sedately, sitting at her table as if nothing were the matter.
Say, Sylvia, how would you like to go home while I'm traveling?
That would be most agreeable, she said, a smirk on her face.
Can't fool her. She knows I know. Ha!
Let's skip to the end. What do you want? She asked.
No fun at all, Sylvia. No fun at all. The price?
Well, let's clarify this, Alex said, tapping a bar with a knuckle.
To start with, you go home while I'm away and must return within one day of my return. I'll send a messenger to you personally the day I arrive, of course. That way there isn't any funny business. You swear an oath on your life and soul that you'll return, and we return to your charges.
That would actually be agreeable so far, Sylvia said.
Next, you are forbidden to destroy any evidence of your guilt or have anyone do so on your behalf. If you do come across any evidence of your guilt, you'll bring it back with you for me, Alex said.
That's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
Not really. It just means you have to stay away from everything that landed you in this cell, effectively making it so you can enjoy your freedom, but not deter justice.
Sighing, Sylvia leaned back in her chair, smiling at him. Fine. I agree and do so swear. It's not very fair when you have me at your mercy like that. At least play a little with me.
Oh? I think you'll come to enjoy being at my mercy. I'm sure we can make it fun and pleasurable for each other. Let me go check on my other guest, and then I'll arrange for your departure.
Moving back to Riley's cell, he opened the door and stepped in. Before he could even address her, she had already pulled her tunic back over her head. The black choker was all she was wearing.
Master? She asked.
Her voice was curious, with maybe just a hint of annoyance.
Ah, forgive me, one. I'm afraid I've been summoned by the king.
I'll be gone for a week or two. I'm going to ask the guard to add extra fruit to your meals while I'm gone, and to provide you with a daily bath, too. A hairstylist will come in to start working with your hair, as well as a second set of clothes to match the first, just in case they get dirty and you need to wash them.
All right. Thank you, Master. Are you okay? Is the king mad at you? Because of me? That you didn't hang someone who was accused of treason?
Asked Riley. On the contrary, nothing is the matter, and I'll be back before you know it. We'll catch up then, okay, Juan?
Yes, Master. Thank you.
That solved, Alex needed to go put all this into action and get on the road.
I wonder what the king wants.
This is certainly too fast. Most certainly too fast,
Walter complained as the coach bumped along the king's road. Each and every crack, pothole, and uneven paving stone practically rattled the teeth out of their heads. But they were making amazing time. Alex didn't want to spend a minute on the road he didn't have to. They'd already been on the move for one day. One day of traveling, sleeping some distance from the road, and having none of the comforts of home was enough for him. If he had his way, they'd be arriving the day after tomorrow, and ensconced in the family manse in the capital.
Oh, let it be, Walter, Alex said. The sooner we get there, the better. You did send a fast courier to have the house prepared, yes?
Yes, my lord, I did. All will be ready for our arrival, though I pity the horses.
A small price to pay. They'll recover. No permanent harm. Just giving them a shakedown run.
And the men, my lord?
Alex glanced out the window to see one of the elite guards Walter had brought along. He was wearing chainmail and what looked like thick leather armor underneath that. They were his personal house guard, trained hard and given priority when it came to equipment and gear. Walter's paranoia had kicked into gear since Alex's abduction. Having them along was only the most recent expression of that fear. There was a sudden, sharp thud, followed by the coach leaning heavily to one side. Shouts and orders came from all directions, so much so that Alex couldn't make heads or tails of it. It all sounded like noise. Noise that had the distinct feel of violence to it. The coach lurched in the other direction, and then started to slow down abruptly. Alex felt like it was slowing far too quickly, especially if the horses had been let to run and the driver injured. Something happened, I guess? Straining his ears, Alex could hear metal on metal, low grunts and shouts, and even some called insults. Then everything went silent, except for some low moans and what sounded like snoring. Alex truly didn't want to poke his head out the window to find out what had happened. Waiting inside wasn't going to do him any favors or fix the situation, though.
"I'll look, my lord," Walter said, immediately popping his head out the window.
Blasted loyal fool.
"Ah, good work, good work," Walter said.
To whom, Alex had no idea.
Though he would guess by the fact that Walter hadn't pulled his head back in or died, whatever had happened was already over.
"Walter?" Alex asked.
Sorry, my lord. Is it all clear?"
Walter asked someone else outside.
"Yes, sir. We have no wounded, no dead. We killed four. Two will probably never talk again, and we captured three who can talk,"
said a voice outside the carriage.
"By the look of them, they're not what we'd call seasonal bandits. I'd say this is their profession of choice."
Seasonal bandits? Is that even a thing? Or is it more of a curiosity of this world, I wonder?
Seasonal banditry. Men and women who take up weapons during a fallow, drought, or poor yielding season. Often this creates more farmland available to be sold again when the previous tenants expire or leave their land.
Ah, Alex said. Open the doors then, Walter. Let's see if this was accidental or planned. We were just summoned, after all.
What? The king? never. He wouldn't. He couldn't.
Could he? Walter asked. Opening the door to the carriage, he stepped out onto the King's Road. I truly don't know, but I'd rather find out than never ask. Alex jumped down and found himself staring up into a rough face with a number of small scars and a nose that had been broken more than thrice.
Rudolph, Alex said, nodding at the man. He was a lieutenant in the House Guard and by reputation a stalwart man. Bring over the survivors who can talk.
Looking to the side, he found the source of the snoring sound.
A woman with a split skull lay face up in the roadway, her chest still until she took a gasping, snoring breath. Quickly pulling his gaze away from the dying body, Alex looked to Rudolph.
Put any who can't talk to the sword. Banditry on the King's Road is a death sentence, Alex said.
Yes, my lord,
Rudolph said, then gestured to his men, who were spread out around them. A man walked out from the side of Alex's view, carrying a large, one-handed steel mace.
Ah, no bladed weapons on the King's Road or in the capital. That's going to make my order a bit...
A disgusting crunch came from his left, and Alex made sure to keep his eyes forward. A youth, probably barely old enough to drink, a man, and a young woman were each pushed to their knees in front of Alex. They all had wounds on their bodies, but seemed to be coherent, though in various states of fear or panic. Except the woman, who seemed angry more than anything.
You, Alex said, pointing at the man-child.
Why the hell are you out here?
My uncle brought me, said the scared teenager.
And where's he?
Dead. Over there,
the youth said, nodding his head toward a direction Alex refused to look.
But why?
Farm went barren. Uncle said he knew a group that were always looking for new blood. We were just waiting for anyone to come along. Haven't seen anyone for days come down the road.
So they weren't here for me. Just a lucky coincidence for them.
Poor kid. I'll have Rudolph take care of him before we pack it up.
Sighing, Alex looked to the older man.
You?
Fuck you, said the man, spitting at Alex.
Thankfully, he missed, but Alex was nonplussed all the same.
Uh-huh.
Rudolph? Alex asked, looking over to the man.
Sir?
See if you can find out where their hideout is so we can recover their ill-gotten gains. If he cooperates, dispatch him efficiently and without pain. If he doesn't, get creative. Then dump the body to the side of the road.
With pleasure, sir.
A guard leaned over the older man, jammed the handle of his mace up against the man's throat, and dragged him off to one side.
And what about me, huh? The woman said, glaring at him. Tell them to do the same to me? Instead of getting creative, tell them to rape me to death? I've never been a victim, and I won't be one now. I'll piss on anyone who even gets between my legs and shit on them to boot.
Raising his eyebrows at the violence in her tone and words, Alex gave her a quick once-over. Short-cropped black hair, no longer than an inch or two, and light brown eyes. She wasn't pretty like Riley, or beautiful like Sylvia, but she wasn't unattractive either. Her features weren't delicate or fine, but she had a certain appeal to Alex, nonetheless, and her figure was toned and lithe, with a bit more than a handful in the chest. A thin white scar ran from her cheekbone down to her jaw. Otherwise, her face was smeared with dirt, and a thin trickle of blood came down from her temple. He'd call her cute, if he had to put a name to it.
You're certainly feisty, Alex said neutrally.
Keep your distance, my lord, one of the guards said. She doesn't look it, but she was actually difficult to put down.
Oh? Alex asked, curious.
Yes, sir. I'm not sure I could best her in a straight fight. I'm betting she has a price on her head with that kind of ability. We should take it with us.
Making a snap decision, he decided it might be worth trying to subvert her to his whims. That, and her head seemed perfectly useful atop her shoulders,
rather than in a sack. He imagined she would respond with rage up front to anything she perceived as an indignity, before she even knew if it was or wasn't. A neutral tone would be the best route for now. Giving her nothing to build on would put her off balance. Squatting down in front of her, Alex put himself eye level with her.
"Curious. You're interesting.
Actually, I haven't caught your name yet," Alex asked. The woman's brows pressed together, her mouth a thin line. She glared at him for all she was worth.
"Walter, do me a favor. Step aside for a bit. Rudolph, come a bit closer so he doesn't pitch a fit."
"My lord, I..."
"Walter, do it." He heard the shuffling of steps behind him, then the clunking of boot-shod feet coming to stand beside him. "Rudolph, you're under an oath of secrecy as well as loyalty, yes?"
"Yes, my lord."
"Wonderful." Alex tilted his head to one side, looking at the woman. Threats wouldn't work here, nor would appealing to anything. What about praise and a treat? In simple terms, with nothing attached. We can work on her as we go.
"How about we just start with a name? My name is Alex Britt, Count of Britt," Alex said, watching her. She blinked once, then shook her head.
"Carla," she said finally, her tone and volume having come down considerably. Her head slowly went to the left, then back in the other direction.
"All right. Carla, you're rather impressive. I think having you at my side would probably help me survive a bit longer. What would you say to a job offer?"
"I'd say you're fucking cracked."
"Oh, most certainly. But I haven't even told you the best part of the offer."
"Hmm." Carla watched him.
"Oh, that looks like interest. She isn't angry. I doubt I need to remind her the alternative is having her head bashed in, but I have to follow the rules."
"The best part is your employment would start with an oath to me, of secrecy, loyalty, and that all future pacts between us would build off that one. An oath that, if broken, would forfeit your life and soul. You can, of course, say no. I'll not force you into this."
"Ha! You'll just kill me instead," she said, some heat rising in her voice.
"That's the unfortunate reality, yes. I can promise you that if you say no, you'll not be used in a poor fashion. I'll simply have your head cut from your shoulders, your dignity intact. And that's your choice, which is yours to make, without coercion," Alex said, as neutrally as he could manage.
"You can say no, or you can agree."
"The oath would be given on the name of Leah," Alex said, keeping his tone cool, emotionless. Carla wrinkled her nose, but didn't seem put off.
"I agree, and swear your oath on Leah," Carla said.
"I also do so swear. Now the actual bargain I'd like to strike with you. You keep your life, but you turn it over to me. You will be in my service, but you'll serve at my side at all times."
"Want yourself a bandit whore, huh?"
Carla growled.
"Not at all. You'll never be able to quit, change positions, or leave, but you'd have your life, and you'd be my personal guard."
Carla didn't respond. Instead, she turned her head one way, then the other. I wonder if that helps her think. Second time she's done that.
"In addition, you'd have to swear yourself to celibacy unless I provide you with permission. Can't have someone trying to use you against me," Alex said smoothly, as if it were nothing at all. Hopefully, having never experienced a loyalty oath, she wouldn't understand that this concern was already moot.
"And that's it?" she asked, her tone cautious. Wary.
"Yes, that'd be it. Moving from a life of banditry to a life of guard duty. You'll make sure no harm comes to me at any time. You'll do what I order you to do, providing it falls within the boundary of good guardsmanship, and I'll give you what I believe you should have."
Carla licked her lips, her anger long cooled, replaced with what looked to Alex like a shred of hope.
Then, I agree, and do swear it.
I accept, and swear in return. Collect some extra gear from the house guard, or the dead, and get into the carriage. We're on our way to the capital.
Carla said eloquently.
Hmm?
Alex stood up, stretching his back as he did so.
Carla got to her feet as well, throwing a cautious glance at the guards around her.
Damn, she's taller than me?
Alex looked up at the ex-bandit who had him beat by an inch or two.
How much do I get paid? Carla asked.
Alex grinned widely at her. Good question. It's a shame you didn't ask that before you agreed. You're already well in the trap.
Two.
Absolutely nothing. Why, do you need pocket money? Alex asked, keeping his face blank.
What?
Carla asked, her face immediately going red.
What need do you have for money?
I'll provide you with what I want you to have.
I didn't...
No, Carla growled out, her hands settling on his shoulders.
Yes, Carla?
I need coin.
I see. And for what, exactly?
You don't need to know.
All right. And how much coin do you need?
10 gold. A year, Carla said, her fingers tightening in his clothes, but causing him no harm. She physically couldn't.
That's it? I can easily pay you that amount. Would you like this year's salary up front? Now?
Yes. Yes, before we reach the capital.
Great. We can do that. I do have a price in exchange. Since this wasn't part of the deal, it'd be an added bit to it.
What?
I'm sorry, Carla. You can't expect me to give such a salary without getting something in return. It's far and above what a new house guard makes, and certainly not in advance. No, my price is simple. Your name will become Two. You will respond to that name, take it as your own, and expect to be called that,
Alex said with a neutral and blank look on his face.
That's what I want from you. So, is it Two or Carla?
Carla's eye twitched, her lips peeling back in a snarl.
You can always say no. There's no reason to say yes if you don't want to. This is completely voluntary, Alex said.
Gods damn you! She screamed in his face.
Something must be driving her. I wonder what it is.
Fine. Yes, I agree. Fine, damn you. I'll agree to that oath. Give me the damn coin. I'll need to take a day to take care of my things when we reach the capital.
Perfect. This is almost too easy.
First, I accept the deal for your gold. As to your day off, sure, too. Not a problem. I could definitely let you do that. Let's discuss the price for a day off, Alex said, and finally smiled at her. I'm sure we can come to some type of agreement. First, how flexible are you?
Carla's eyes widened and her face nearly went purple as rage overcame her.
Chapter 6.
The carriage rolled slowly through the large gates of the capital. It wasn't so much that one passed them on entering them, more like they actually enveloped anything that went through. Stonework that looked close to 15 feet deep surrounded the carriage as they entered the capital proper. Outside these inner walls remained the peasantry, the lowest classes of citizens, and a major source for drudgery and manual labor. All were encompassed within a wall that wouldn't stand up to a traditional army, but would certainly keep out bandits and raiders. The inner wall district was where all the affluent members of the city lived, traded, and did business, where the peerage lived. Even Alex's family had a home here,
Apparently, it hailed from an age in which the Britt family had a ducal title, instead of only a count's.
I wonder how long ago that was, and why we lost it.